Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. Yes, you have come to that location on the internet once again where we talk about the real things that men deal with on a daily basis. The
As
real issues.
To the fake things.
It's going to be one of those. The coffee is kicking in. We didn't even get halfway through the show and his mega shots of whatever you end up putting together are... cruising in. They're lining up right now. That was just
cruising,
a little
cruising coffee. There
you go. So I forgot what I was saying. Yes, we talk about the real issues, that men face on a daily basis. And it's all about us being transparent, brutally honest, and you have no problem with that. And being biblically sound, and you have no problem with that either. That's a good thing.
Thank you.
And offering both hope and help for men. And that's what we're here for, is to give away what we've been given. And so you get this free. We received it free, so you get it free. And so anyway, we have a topic today. We're going to be talking about being unoffendable. And what does that require on our part? What does that look like? And if you guys have never been offended in your life, you don't need to listen to this, okay? But I will tell you, the likelihood is that you're still listening because you're going, okay, I need to hear what this has to say, what we have to say there. And I'm not easily offended anymore. I've overcome that.
Completely?
Are you kidding me? Right now I feel insecure because you asked me that question.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I know how you feel.
That's our topic that we're going to be hitting directly on here momentarily. But we always like to kick things off with some encouragement. And, brother, you got anything in your bag of encouragement?
Oh, you know what? After listening to the show for a while, I think the guys are probably knowing, oh, hey, Eric's on the air. We're going to hear about how he screwed up last week.
On what?
Oh, Raul, I screw up on stuff all the time.
You do?
Yeah.
We don't hear about it.
Yeah. Do you listen to the
no,
show?
No, I don't. Am I offending you now?
Oh, so here's the deal. Sometimes somebody will say something and will act like it didn't hurt us, but it actually did hurt us. And so what we do is we take that and we stick it in our back pocket and we hold on to that so that we can use it later. And I did this past week and it didn't work out too well. So, you know, what happens is that, you know, when we hold on to something like that.
Me, myself, and I.
Yes. Me, myself, and I, and Raul. And then something comes up, and we have this thing in our back pocket. It's like, okay, so now if this happens, now I know I can pull this out of my pocket, and I'll use this as my defense, right? So I'm holding on to something. Well, the problem is that holding on to something is the opposite of forgiving. And, you know, because forgiving is really the decision to not hold something against somebody any longer.
That's right.
And so here's Eric, I got this thing in my back pocket, and somebody, you know, comes up and says something to me, and I'm like, I pulled this thing out of my back pocket. It's like a bullet in my back pocket, put it in the gun, fire it, right? Well, that's not forgiving. And what happens then is it causes strife. Mm-hmm. You know, here I've got, you know, this pocket full of bitterness. I pull it out. I shoot it. Now we've got strife. And it just... it creates a really bad situation, Raul. And I put myself in the place where I needed to go to somebody last week and ask for forgiveness. And it all stemmed from the fact that I held on to something that caused bitterness in me, and I used it, and I fired it out like a bullet out of a gun.
You lashed back.
I lashed back, Yeah.
Vengeance you were looking for.
In a sense, yeah. So my encouragement to the guys is to, you know, let's look at some of these things that we might be holding on to, because, you know, it's one thing to have that in your back pocket and say, I'm just not going to go there. You know, you have a thought like, oh, I could say this now. And then you decide not to say what's on your mind. Well, that's a good thing. What's even better is to actually let go of it and give it to Jesus. And they say, you know, hey, you've forgiven me. Can you help me out with this? Can you take this from me? Because I don't want to hold this against this person at all anymore. I don't even want this in my back pocket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's my encouragement to the guys today, is to look at some of these things that we might be holding on to, because we're holding on to them as ammo to be used later on. And I'll tell you what, that is not going to work out well for you. That root of bitterness springs up, and it's what it is, it's sin. It's like drinking poison, hoping that you're going to hurt somebody else.
Yep. Well, you know, that's really too bad that you're the only person that ever felt like that and had to go through something like you just went through, you know. I'm glad we finally got it. The world can now live at peace.
Raul. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man.
Yes, yes.
I am not alone in that, I know.
You're absolutely right. You know, I used to have a storage safe in me where all these things I would keep for later on down the road. Because when I just stuck them in my back pocket, my pocket wasn't big enough. And they would get bulky, and I would feel them.
So you're pushing a wheelbarrow.
No, actually, I've got it on wheels behind me, and I'm pulling it.
You're pulling a trailer.
Yes, I'm pulling it. And so true, though. So true that we end up thinking that, okay, I'm going to come back, and this is what I'm going to use for this individual at another time, and he's going to wish that things were different before, and that certain things weren't said or done, and yes, it's amazing how we can, but we're wired that way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the world and the way that it is, that we need to make sure this is mine, and you try to take mine, you're out of the way.
Yeah, in this narcissistic world we live in, they say, hey, you got to take care of yourself. You got to watch out for you. You need to protect yourself. And to do that, you're going to have an arsenal.
Yes.
And
you have to have an army.
And this is what the world teaches us. But, you know, Christ says something completely different in his word. He says, do not let the root of bitterness spring up.
Yep. So, okay.
Yeah.
You hit us right between the eyes right off the bat. But that's pretty good encouragement, though, that we just deal with this stuff and not carry it. Because I will tell you this, in pulling that safe around on those wheels, it doesn't matter how big a ball bearings they're on in those wheels, it still is a pain carrying that stuff around. And it's amazing how much lighter you feel and not so burdened when you release that stuff, when you truly release it. Not just saying it or pretending it's gone, but truly releasing it. So, all right.
Amen.
Good encouragement. Well, we come to a close of another show, and So this thing on unoffendable, this kind of segues really well into.
It really kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because really the issue was that somebody said something that offended me.
Yes. And that, well, has a tendency of creating some challenges, right?
Yeah.
Right off the bat, I want to usually end up. You know, I used to always think, whether I'm driving or at work or in a relationship or somebody saying something to me that I took offense to, right? Sometimes I wish I just had this little button that released a missile or something, right? To be able to go, boom, okay, they're gone.
Yeah.
Out of my life, right? And no longer bothers me, et cetera, et cetera. And I did that long enough to where all of a sudden I actually, because I used to think that out of sight, out of mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that never really worked. There was always something that reminded me of that individual or that situation. And that in turn reminded me of what I was carrying back in that trailer behind me that I'm hauling around, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and when we try and do the out of sight, out of mind thing, well, it's like, okay, I've been offended by something that this person said, so I'm going to separate myself from this person, and you just go on and on and on. This keeps happening, 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 happening.
Yes.
All of a sudden, you've separated yourself from every single person in your life who cares about you and loves you.
Yep, exactly.
And that, you know, and we've destroyed all the relationships. I'll tell you what you need to destroy a relationship is two people in time.
There you go.
You know, there's going to be strife that comes up, and yeah. And this idea of, you know, holding on to these offenses, you know, this is relationship damaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, how do we be unoffendable?
Yeah. You know, and that is, I got to tell you, part of my experiences of how I got up here to the Northwest, you know, I moved from Arizona up here. I had finished my 2 years of community college, got my associates, and I was accepted to a college here in Bellingham. But that was only the surface thing that I arranged, because the lifestyle I was leading at the time, being married, was not necessarily the best, okay? A lot of alcohol, a lot of drugs, and just a lot of sin. And my family noticed it. And they kept saying something to me about maybe not act that way, or maybe you should not drink or do some of those things. I don't want to, you know, they knew what was going on. I wasn't hiding it very well, okay? And I took offense.
Mm-hmm.
To such a point where I just said, you know what, we're moving. I'm moving as far away as I can,
yeah,
from where you guys, yeah, are at, and being on the West Coast still, and as far north as I possibly can, being in the continental United States, okay? And so as a result of that, that's how I ended up here. I did what was known as a geographic, okay? I'll just get away from everybody. Right.
So you probably tried to go to Canada and they said, no, we don't want you. Get back down there to Bellingham.
Well, I happened to be married to a Canadian at the time, so I was able to get up there anyway. But, and I actually considered that, you know. And so, it, you know, what was really funny is that nothing just goes away.
Mm-hmm.
You got to deal with it somewhere along the line. And brother, I tell you, the easiest way for me to be able to do that is to know that I can't do this on my own. I need help. Okay. That help isn't necessarily another human being. It might be a consideration, and even God, the way that He orchestrates things when He's appointed you and anointed you and said, "You're one, you're mine. I paid for you." You know, you can't escape. You cannot escape, because somewhere along the line, you might as well just give up and just go in, go all in, and say, "Here I am." Okay.
Yeah.
It was not easy. It wasn't, I'm speaking it a lot like it was so simple to be able to go through this stuff, but I'm one that still takes offense on so many things, you know, a lot less than what I used to, because God is in my life.
Yeah. And it has to be really intentional, doesn't it?
Oh boy. Yes, it does, because it just doesn't just happen. But my life has changed as a result of practicing certain principles in relationship or in life. And as a result of that, I know that, hey, I am protected. You know, I am given everything that I need, okay, to be able to deal with whatever comes in front of me or on me, whatever that is, okay? And I don't have to react or deal with things the way that I used to.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, it comes down to the fact that we've been shown such amazing grace by our Savior that if we were not to do the same thing to other people who we feel have offended us, then, you know, what we're doing is we're, you know, Jesus has a parable about that, how people are, you know, a guy was forgiven his debt.
Yes.
It was a huge debt.
Yep.
And the master said, you know, I forgive you your debt. And then this guy went and tried to get like a couple bucks out of somebody that owed something to him.
Yep.
And, you know, the master got pretty mad. Right.
Yep.
So when we do the same thing, when we've been shown grace and then we step back and say, well, I'm not going to show grace to anybody else. I'm going to hold on to something. I'm going to be offended. I'm going to be angry over the things that you've done or said.
Yes.
You know, what we're doing is we're actually acting in a way that is opposite from the way that God has acted towards us, those of us who are in Christ and are under His grace.
So let's start kind of like we are at a beginning in a sense, but how is it that we'd want to recognize being offended? I mean, what causes someone to be offended?
Oh, boy.
I mean, is there a simple answer to this? What do you think?
I don't know if there's a simple answer because, you know, we can be offended both by words. We can be offended by actions. We can be offended by someone else's sin.
Mm-hmm.
We can be offended when somebody doesn't hold the same political beliefs that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So we got, you know, words, actions, sin, beliefs. I mean, there's a full gamut of different ways that we can be offended. And that's just probably a cursory list. I'm sure we could come up with a bunch of other things.
Does it have anything to do with the severity or the intensity that the offense comes? In other words, somebody may just say something, not even directly at us, or at me, I should say, and I've taken offense to it, thinking that they're talking about me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And because I have like similarities to what maybe that they were discussing about or that they thought was incorrect or whatever or wrong. And, boy, that sounds like me. So I took offense to it. Okay. And that person, of course, doesn't even know that they offended me. You know, those are the easier ones to supposedly set aside and just stick way back in the back and say, I just have nothing to do with them. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And we see that a lot in today's culture, especially with the having a Christian worldview. We look at something, we say that this is sinful. You know, I'll just bring up the issue of homosexuality. The Christian worldview is that mm-hmm. homosexuality is a sin. Well, people who are in the homosexual lifestyle are immediately, you know, offended by the fact that we would say that what they are doing is sinful, you know, and then the Christians, here we are, we see that there's a homosexual lifestyle going on all around us, and we are offended by their choices, and we don't want to have anything to do with them.
Yes.
So it's kind of a vicious cycle sometimes, isn't it?
Well, the thing is that what ends up taking place is that when you're in the world, doesn't matter. I'm talking about just on this earth and you're alive and you're moving around. You're going, doing all the things necessary to be able to get through on a daily basis, whatever it is that you need to get through. Okay. You're going to be in relationship with other people. You're in relationship with the guy who's driving in that lane next to you, whether you realize it or not. Okay. He or she makes an error in their driving that causes you to react a certain way or a close call or whatever it is, that now you become offended, right?
Yeah.
Do we not take it personal?
Now, let's look at this situation a little bit different. Imagine that you just came away from court and you had been accused of some huge crime. And you're looking at possibly spending the next 20 years of your life in jail. And we'll just say that you're innocent, but all the evidence is pointed against you. Well, the judge looks at the evidence and sees a flaw and says, oh, you know what? You're innocent. So here you are. You're driving home after this, right? You've just been set free from a 20-year imprisonment. And, you know, you couldn't be more elated, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody cuts you off.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be at this point with that huge elation of being set free from imprisonment? Are you going to be shouting at that person? You're probably not going to be shouting at that person
mm-hmm.
right then.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at this in the light of our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are. We're forgiven by Christ of an immeasurable debt that we can never repay.
Mm-hmm.
We are set free from the penalty of our sin, just like the guy who was set free from his accusation. Okay. So we've been set free from that penalty. We have, you know, all the joy that in the world, right?
You would think that we would.
You would think that we absolutely. So that's somebody cuts us off in traffic. Can't we apply the same sort of principles there? Because we have the forgiveness of our own sins, the joy of our salvation. You know, here we are, we're placed on this earth to be a witness to Christ. Somebody cuts us off, and all of a sudden I'm screaming at them?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it in that light, it really just doesn't stand to reason, does it?
Well, really what it comes down to is that I hand out to everybody that crosses my path their script on what they're supposed to say and do and the right time that they're supposed to do it. But no one pays attention. Nobody reads it, you know? Oh, let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk about, continue talking about this thing about being offended. And what if, have you ever had somebody in another car that you all of a sudden honked at, or you just, you know, you drove up real fast to kind of let them know that, hey, I don't appreciate what you did. And then you come to find out there's somebody you know. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Football season. It's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double-smoked sausages. Yum! Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's Meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hemplers.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
Come running like a prodigal.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Eric and Raul in the studio trying to get through this thing on being unoffended. And yet it's so challenging. I mentioned something about, driving along and then all of a sudden recognizing that it's, you know, somebody that you know is all of a sudden in the other car that you want to correct, in a sense, right?
Yeah, I heard a funny story along these lines. There's a pastor here locally, and he's Canadian, but, you know, his car now has American plates. But his brother came down from Canada to visit, and he borrowed his brother's car to go run some errands. We here in Bellingham, we have kind of a prejudice against Canadian drivers.
You do?
I'm just speaking generally.
Oh, okay.
I try not to be offended by Canadian driving. Okay. Now, where was I?
Yes.
So
he's driving down.
He's driving his brother's car with Canadian plates on it.
And he lives here.
And he lives here in Bellingham. And somebody was offended by his quote-unquote Canadian driving, yelled out the window, screamed some profanities at him. And so this pastor looks over, and it's somebody who attends his church. So there were some, some amends that needed to take place there.
That is so funny because it's just, I could relate with it. I can relate with it. Mm-hmm. I've been one of those where all of a sudden I had opportunity of eating humble pie, you know. Next time I'm just going to say grace before I eat the humble pie, just to, you know, say thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be humbled in a sense. But so often we end up reacting. We react because something is broken our path, has broken our thinking, has, whatever that might be, it's gone awry in a sense. and we want it corrected, okay? Or we want somebody to recognize that they've done harm, okay? Or they've done something that is not allowed in your own brain, right?
Well, this actually makes me think of a story in the Bible where Jesus has been taken to the high priest's house to be questioned.
Yes.
And Peter follows along. And Jesus had said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times,
mm-hmm.
right? So as Jesus is being questioned, here's Peter. Some people come up to him. You know, first a servant girl, hey, weren't you yes. with Jesus? No, I don't know him. You know, and then a couple of other guys come up to him.
Yes.
Hey, weren't you with him? Weren't you with him?
Mm-hmm.
No, no, I do not know him. And then the rooster crows.
Yes.
Well, in Luke's gospel, it records that Jesus looked over
yes.
at Peter.
Yeah.
And I imagine that that was probably the most loving, compassionate look that has ever been given from one person to another.
Yes, yes.
And here's Jesus has the right here to lash out at Peter
mm-hmm.
because he was just
yep.
Sinned against.
Yep.
He just denied him three times, just as he said that he would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this were Eric would be saying, I told you so, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you were going to do that. You are no friend of mine, mm-hmm. you know, blah, 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 like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what Jesus did. He didn't even say a word. Mm-hmm. He just looked over. And I just
yep.
can only picture the look of compassion in Jesus' eyes for Peter in that moment when Jesus should have been offended.
Right, right, right. And, you know,
should, according to Eric's
yes.
definition.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And we are so, and honestly, we end up... We have to emulate Christ.
That's what really comes down to, doesn't it?
The Bible tells us that we're to be holy because he is holy. We are
mm-hmm.
to be perfect because he is perfect. We're to give, we are to be a reflection of his character, who he is, and just who he is, okay? We have to reflect him. People need to look at us and say, oh, you must be a follower. You know how they got the name, you know how we got the name Christians?
Yeah, it was actually meant to be derogatory.
Yes.
And it means little Christ.
Yeah, and those who followed Christ, the Romans gave it to him,
mm-hmm.
gave it to us, I should say, and then we took that on, okay? And the fact is that we, you know, it's like, okay, but you know what? We are to emulate him in
yeah.
everything that we do. And if we did that, when we read about what Jesus has done, and by the way, the only way of knowing what that is that you've got to either hang around people that know about Jesus or you've got to read about Jesus. So you're either going to hear it or you're going to read it. You're not going to necessarily see it. If you're seeing him, it might be a little too late. You hear the trumpet, that might be the closed door, you know.
Yeah.
And so the fact is, and I just make light of that in a sense, because I was one of those. And I don't know what it takes for a person to finally get to that place. I want to know him. I want to know him more. I so desire him. I don't just want to be saved. I want to really live this way.
Yeah, because to be an imitator of Christ.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's a passage in the Bible which actually talks about things that, you know, relate to being offended.
Mm-hmm.
And then it talks about being an imitator of Christ.
Yes.
So it's in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
Mm.
And then it goes on to chapter 5, where I don't think there should be a chapter break here, but anyways, because it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Yes.
So, you know, scripture here supports what you just said, that we are to be an imitator of Christ. And it was in, actually, the direct context was in all of these things that would be, opportunities for being offended. You know, having that bitterness, having anger, somebody has slandered you, there's, you know, malice going on. All these things are things that could possibly cause being offended.
Right, right.
Then it says, but be an imitator of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to say that what you said is exactly right according mm-hmm. to Scripture. And, you know, that's what we're supposed to do, is test everything according to what Scripture
right.
says.
And it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, you're talking about a life change. I mean, some of us, as we came later in life to finally accept the Lord, we have a lot of years of living on this earth doing things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything necessarily, but the majority of things, maybe 98% of everything, you know, doing it differently than what the way that the God of our creation, right, who loves us so much that he created us, what he wants us to do, how he wants us to live, you know. And in doing so, it's like, oh my goodness, I wasn't even close to that. I mean, when Jesus talked about when the Pharisees were trying to trick him to find out, hey, which is the greatest commandment, right? He surprised them in a sense. Okay,
yeah.
Here it is. You know, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything you got.
Yeah, and second then, is like it.
Yeah, and they were surprised. I'm sure they said the second is like it. So to love your neighbor as you love yourself, okay? In other words, you take care of yourself. When you're hungry, you feed yourself. When you're cold, you warm yourself. When you're, you know, wet, you dry yourself. That's mm-hmm. loving yourself, okay? And we are to do that for everyone else. And then he goes on to say all of those 10 commandments can be brought into these
yeah,
two.
That's exactly what
they
I was
drop
say.
Right
I mean,
into these two.
Yeah, you go back to what those 10 commandments are, and you can say this fits in that category, this fits in that category.
That's right. It,
everything is really is summed up in those commandments.
Yes, just those two. In doing that, it's difficult. You think, oh man, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I used to say that. And I was like, you know, I wasn't that old, but I used to say that because I wanted to justify my behavior.
Yeah, you were what, 22?
Or whatever. But the point being is that I wanted my comfort. I wanted my pleasure. I wanted the things that mm-hmm. I've received that I really enjoyed that the world gave me, right? But I also wanted the Lord. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to know I was going to heaven. I wanted to be able to help others know him. And you know what? You can't live in both worlds. He said you can't have two masters.
Right.
You're going to love one and hate the other, you know? And I tried to prove him wrong on that, and it didn't work. It did not work, okay? And so what it comes down to is that we've got to do certain things that I'm not necessarily too fond of having to do. And we'll talk about that right when we come back from the break. And I know you know okay. what I'm going to say.
Well, we'll talk.
I think the coffee's kicking in on me. All right. We'll take a break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Eric in the house. That coffee, all of a sudden, did it subside?
No, I still got lots of caffeine going on.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking really fast because I have all this caffeine on. You just kind of play back the podcast at like half speed in order to hear what I'm saying.
We were watching a little clip on YouTube on I Love Lucy, Lucille Ball.
Oh, that's so funny.
On the Vegemita Vitamin. Yeah,
Vegemita
Vitamin. Oh, my gosh. You'll have to check it out on YouTube. It is hilarious. Anyway, some of that old humor that is clean and it's fun.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
But only, I don't know, maybe the young people would not think it was very funny, but anyway.
So, vitamin and Vegemin, 7 syllables. Hypersensitivity.
5?
7 syllables.
Oh, it was 7, that's right, yes. Yeah. Wow, the number 7. the number of completion. So we're done with that, okay? Let's move on.
All right.
So anyway, so we were talking about this thing called, well, we weren't talking about it, but I think that's what we're pointing toward. The things that are necessary for us to be able to keep from being offended, okay, is that we need to be more like Christ, right?
And how do we do that?
Is there a vending machine that I can just put in my $5 bill and be able to
get the more like Christ candy bar, and then you get $4 of change. Hey, all right.
Hey, there was a time that I thought when I was giving as an early Christian, I thought in tithing that by the more that I gave, the more that I would receive, you know, as far as being, you know, I didn't have to do for it. Hey, he's look at that. He's giving me a dollar more than he did last week, you know, or whatever. And, you know. Boy, I tell you, I was so lost when I was saved.
Well, I could go on about that sort of mentality for a while here.
But it's kind of a rabbit trail. So anyway, but it's about submission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about submission to our Lord, and not just once.
And you know, once again, we have Jesus as the example. Mm-hmm. Jesus is he's praying in the garden. He knows that he is about to be nailed to
John
a cross.
John 17.
And he says, yet not my will, but your will be done. He says, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yeah. Yet not my will, but your will be done.
Yep.
Jesus submitted to the will of the Father.
Yes.
You know, here he's a man of flesh, right? It's going to hurt.
But he also, he knew what he was going into. He knew what was going to be taking place. Yeah. He knew the pain that was going to have to endure. He knew what was going to happen with him being crucified with nails on a tree. You know, he knew what was going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
If you and I knew that we were going to be in an accident and our leg was going to be broken, we'd probably freak out, wouldn't we?
Yeah,
I'm not leaving the house.
Yeah, I'm not getting in the car today.
And yet he knew.
Mm-hmm.
But he did that because he loved us.
Okay? Amen.
Despite knowing that we weren't even around yet, but knowing before the world was even created, God had already had us in mind. You know, we were already a sparkle in his eye. He says, hey, I'm going to create Eric. And here he is, little Eric. Mm-hmm. And here's little Raul. And anyway, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and if we allow these, what we view as offendable to, you know, to overpower our thinking, it also ruins our witness to the people around us.
Yes.
And, you know, because that's really, we really want to share the love of God with everyone. And I'm thinking about a story of Tony Campolo when he went to he was in Hawaii, just flew in, so he was had this jet lag thing going on. 3 a.m. goes to a donut shop. Well, in come a whole group of prostitutes who come to this donut shop every night, and here's one of them say it's her birthday tomorrow, and they jokingly say, oh, maybe we should get you a cake. And she said, nah, you know, I've never had a cake. Why start now? So here's this woman who has never in her life been celebrated on her birthday, has never been given a cake. Right. She's a prostitute on the streets of Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And Tony talks to the owner of the donut shop and says, hey, what do you say we throw a party for this girl tomorrow? Well, I'll come back tomorrow at 3 a.m. and we'll have a cake and we'll throw a party for her.
Yep.
And so they did that, and this woman was moved to tears.
Yes.
You know, because truly she wanted to be recognized for that.
Yep.
And so here's a situation where we should be offended by the fact that she's a prostitute.
Yep.
But ultimately, she's one of God's daughters, right?
Yes.
And what Tony did was very Christ-like in honoring her, and she was, and something, you know, frazzled her. She didn't want to eat the cake because it was too precious. So she went and she took it home, and so she was gone for a little bit. And everyone's like, "Well, what do we do now?" You know, the person of honor just left. Tony says, "Let's pray," and he starts praying to a room full of prostitutes and an unbelieving donut shop owner, and so the donut shop owner got offended. And he said, what in the world are you doing? You know, who are you? You know, what kind of church do you belong to? You know, and I love Tony's response. He says, I belong to the kind of church that celebrates the birthday of a prostitute at 3 a.m. in a donut shop in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, that's the kind of God that I can follow.
Yes.
You know, but if Tony had chosen to be offended in that moment, like Eric probably would have.
I know Raul would have.
Then the gospel would not have been shared mm-hmm. in that donut shop to a room full of prostitutes and unbelievers.
Yes. I think my wife would have been offended if I was in the donut shop with a bunch of prostitutes at 3 o'clock in the
well,
morning.
Well, okay. here's the thing on that. There is actually something in the Bible about that where it says, you know, to it's Ephesians 6:1, to keep your brother, you know, it's good to keep your brother from stumbling, but be careful that you too don't fall into
yes.
temptation. I can't remember how it's worded exactly. And then also there's a proverb that says bad company corrupts good morals, I think it is. Is that right?
Yes. I'm reading, but yes.
Okay. So, you know, there is that. If, you know, if you find yourself in a situation where you're going to be tempted to fall into a pattern of sin, you know, you might not want to be hanging out in a room full of prostitutes.
Right. Exactly.
But the
fact is that there are things that we can do. And there are many things that we can do. There are little things, and I don't know if we have a list of them. They have to come off the top of our head right now. But I think the most important thing is that our relationship with Jesus Christ is first and foremost.
Yep.
That is your save all. That is the one that will actually keep you in his presence. See, when we acknowledge him, and I mean acknowledge by even saying, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, that I've got life today. Thank you, Lord, that I have a vehicle with fuel in it that I can drive down the road. Thank you, Lord, that you give me opportunity to make a decision to be more like you, to be able to allow this person to get through. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me that I don't have to be in such a big rush. Thank you, Lord, that I'm reminded that these lanes that I'm on are not my lanes. You know, they're everybody's lanes to drive down. Right? I'm using an example. And so the more often that we can be thankful, be in gratitude to our Lord, we're in his presence. When we're in his presence, we're in the presence of light. Guess what's not there?
Yeah, the darkness.
There's no darkness.
Yeah.
Okay? So as a result of that, our thinking changes. And when our thinking starts to change, all of a sudden our actions change. And when our actions change, people around us change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we see them differently.
That's exactly it. It's seen with the eyes of Christ.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I love the fact that Tony saw with the eyes of Christ. Just as Jesus, when the woman came and anointed his feet with oils and used her hair,
mm-hmm.
what a lot of people don't realize is that a woman in that Jewish culture did not let her hair down except in the presence of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
It was seen as like harlotry.
Mm-hmm.
It was seen as being, you know, a seductive woman if you mm-hmm. let your hair down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so here she is. She has let her hair down,
mm-hmm.
and she's cleaning the feet of Jesus. Well, the people around her are like, Jesus, yeah. be offended.
Yes.
And yeah. he's like, no, I can't be offended at
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
She's washing my feet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, and so truly when we do have the eyes of Christ, when we see people for, you know, the way that Jesus does, you know, I can see a person and immediately I look at the exterior, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I make assessments. Do I want to be around this person? Do I not want to be around this person? Well, that's not the right thing to do, because
right.
I need to be looking with the eyes of Christ. Here is a man who is a son of God, loved by
mm-hmm.
God, created by God.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not saved, God wants him to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be of the mindset of seeing along those lines, and also to, you know, the fact that I have been forgiven. I have been forgiven much. So too, I must, you know, be willing to forgive much and immediately.
Yeah. Yes.
Because if I don't forgive, that's when I'm holding on to these offenses, and it stifles the witness of Christ.
Yes. You know, I think of the story of Martha and Mary, okay,
mm-hmm.
where one was offended because the other one was working, doing all the stuff, and, you know, et cetera, and wanted Jesus to be upset with it. Can you see what was wrong here? And all that Jesus did, in every story, is he got us to look at it differently than what it shows, what you see, what you read. You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe even what you experience. He tries to get us to look at it through another set, as you said, another set of glasses or another window to look out of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. in his window, to be able to see someone else as Christ sees them.
That's an amazing thing.
Yes, and when we do that, when we're able to do that, even to an inkling, just a little bit, our perspective of that individual changes no matter what. There's something that happens within us because we are created to be Christ-like. And when we connect, it's kind of like the tumbler and you're doing a safe, you're kind of turning the dial. And as soon as you feel that tumbler go in, it's like, oh, wow, I'm in. Okay. You know, it's like one piece closer to being able to open the whole door in a sense. My point being is that it just feels good. Okay. It's like, wow, I've not felt like this before. This is really, it's good, you know, odd, but it's good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No.
Well, what you've done, Raul, is you've derailed my train again.
Where's that coffee? Get this guy some coffee here so we can just keep things going and everything. How about this? In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Okay, now he goes on and sharing, I mean, we could read that whole chapter there. But the fact is that we are a new creation in Christ. Our mind is changed. Our heart is changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In doing so, we have to acknowledge that by doing things differently. You know, read the Word of God. Right. The instructions are very simple. They're right there. I just gave you and me and Eric one more piece.
And I remember now what was on my mind before the train derailed.
I knew it would. Say it quick.
All right. Every single person that we come across, they have a story. They have a story to tell. They've been through many things, you know, throughout their life. They have pain. They have joy. They have happiness. You know, there's a number of things that have happened to people. When we look at them and think, I wonder what their story is. This is something that I will sometimes do in order to help me to see with the eyes of Christ.
Yes.
To know that they, you know, there's pain. There's sorrow, there's happiness, there's joy, there's all sorts of things. And just like I have my own story. Now I tell you my story so that I might be able to tell you about what Christ has done in my life, right?
Amen.
And with these people, if I got to know their story, I might be able to see them a little bit differently.
All right. Better late than never. Seeing them. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the forgiveness that we have in Christ and the fact that, Lord, oh, I can offer that forgiveness to other people who I may have offended me or may have said something offensive. God, help me to see with your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.